Alright, hello everyone, my name is Christina Hu. Today is June 4th, 2020, and I'm recording this account at home, which is in Princeton, New Jersey. So, I guess when talking about the coronavirus, it's first like to start off by talking about how I was introduced to the coronavirus and how I reacted to it. So I first encountered the coronavirus, heard about it, understood what it was when I was just browsing the news. I think at the time, politics was at the forefront of our nation with the whole like Democratic primary elections it was such a big deal at the time. And so I think I was just browsing through my news app on my phone, and I think I came across a headline that said something along the lines of virus in China breaks out. And I just scrolled past and didn't think twice about it. So I guess that was my initial reaction. My initial reaction was just complete oblivion, indifference, and I guess a lot of ignorance as well. I just didn't think it was a big deal at all. I didn't think it was a fatal disease. I didn't think it was an unfamiliar disease, and that's why it was in the news, but I didn't think it was anything to be worried about, and I didn't think it would reach beyond where it had broken out in China. And when I first heard about, I heard about COVID-19 and more deaths from school, I think a couple of days after I found that first headline, at school during history class, we were touching upon current events, and our teacher brought up that there was a virus in China. And he didn't even know the name of it at the time. And only a few people in our class actually knew the name of it. And again, my reaction was just that, oh, this might be a bit more serious than I'd expected. Like, maybe this virus is a bit more mentally, physically taxing, like, harmful than I thought. But I didn't think it would extend at all to the global extent that it has. But of course it did. And now I guess I'd like to talk about how when I first started to realize that the COVID-19 pandemic was very local to me, it was becoming a local emergency that would personally affect me. And that happened near the beginning of March. And even at this time, I wasn't fully aware of how much it would affect me. But in the beginning of March, there was a lot of speculation among my classmates and teachers over whether or not our school would be shutting down because of coronavirus. A lot of schools at the time, I think all the schools in New York had closed down. A lot of schools, nationally were closing down. And people were talking about how, you know, a lot of people they knew, their siblings, all their schools and universities were shutting down. And that's when I first started feeling like it might become more relevant to me than I thought. Even at the time, though, it still hadn't fully hit me how much it was going to affect me. But that's when I first started feeling like, okay, maybe this will affect me. But when I first started realizing that this was a big deal, was when we found out that schools were being closed. The week that we found out schools were being closed, it was a specific week in the middle of March when speculations were going much more. Half days were announced because our staff and teachers were being taught about what to do in case our schools were going to close down. And that's when it started feeling like it was going to affect me a lot more. Because then I was realizing that there are actual preparations going on for school shutting down. So that entire week was just a build-up of just more talk, more gossip, and just more realizations that COVID-19 was becoming much more serious than I thought. And that all culminated to when schools were announced that they would be closing down. And that's when I fully understood that, you know, COVID-19 was going to affect me a lot. But I guess since then, there's been a lot of things going on with this whole, you know, public crisis. And that also that brings up the question of how I've been coping with it and how I've been feeling about it. I think a lot of people would relate to me when I say that since quarantine overall, I've been feeling a lot more gloomy and a lot sadder, a lot more isolated, and I guess a lot more depressed. And that's just because my day-to-day activities have just been completely just scattered by everything. There's been a lot more issues I've had to deal with. Spending all this time by myself has brought up a lot of deep-rooted issues within myself. They've all come forefront because of COVID-19. And so, yeah, I think in general I've been feeling a lot more blue. But, of course, we're nearing our third month of being in quarantine, and especially since schools have closed down. And so I've definitely developed some coping mechanisms along the way. I still think I haven't fully been able to cope with all the issues I've been facing personally, but I've definitely been, adopting more habits to try my best to keep my mood up and keep me feeling as normal as I can. And I mean normal, that just means, pre-coronavirus. But I've been coping a lot better since the start of quarantine. I picked up some coping mechanisms, just some habits like journaling, listening to music a lot more, trying my best to take walks and exercise. And that has been helping me. However, now that I will have, my setbacks. And I guess just if anything like this has ever happened to me, the question if I've ever experienced something like this, and the answer to that is absolutely not. There is not a situation in my mind that I can find that can hold a candle to COVID-19. I would say the only slightly comparable situation would be the Ebola virus from a few years ago, just because that was also a virus that was spreading internationally. However, that really had no bearings over my life as the coronavirus has. So in short, I had never experienced anything like this before, and I think a lot of people would vouch to say that they never experienced anything like this before. Just with all, the physical health repercussions and the economic and social ones as well. Yeah, I guess all of that, I've never experienced anything like this. And I guess now moving on to my day-to-day life and how it's been affected by COVID-19. So COVID-19 has definitely affected my family and I and our day-to-day activities. I'd say that my family, in general, our activities are much more sedentary. Nowadays, we basically wake up, eat food, spend the entire day in our rooms doing work or just wasting time and browsing the internet. So we've been a lot more sedentary, we've been a lot more digital, and we've also been a lot more, cautious and contained. For example, I haven't left my neighborhood since this entire thing has started. The only way I've left my house is just to take walks around our neighborhood. That's basically the general trend with my family members. Nowadays it's only my parents who are comfortable with buying groceries, and they don't want us to come with them. So our day-to-day activities are much more contained. We try our best to wash our hands as much as possible. We're much more mindful of, how we're interacting with other people. So there's just this new atmosphere of, caution and caution, I guess, isolation. Because even though we can interact with each other as a family, we're much more isolated in our own rooms. And I guess that's relating to how, just specifically me and how my behavior has changed. Of course, I am definitely much more sedentary. I don't spend a lot of time, like, outside of my room now. I think I spend the vast majority of my time just in my room, sitting at my desk. I needed the behaviors a lot more convoluted, I'd say. You know, before I'd have, like, a nice schedule of which class to go to, when I do my schoolwork, and then when I go home and do other work. And now that's all been mixed around and thrown around. And so now I find myself doing my homework late at night. And it's just been a lot more crazy and convoluted and unpredictable. And I guess that also, you know, relates to the topic of what I found difficult about staying at home and what I found easy. So one of the things I found difficult about staying home is obviously the lack of interaction. I'd say basically all of my interactions with my friends, with other people, they come from school. And so the fact that we can't go to school anymore, I found it very difficult. I'm not talking with the majority of my friends, and that isn't out of a falling out or anything. That's just because of the fact that we can't interact physically anymore. I found it difficult to maintain a good lifestyle in quarantine. And this means, like, staying healthy, eating the right foods, also just staying mentally healthy. I've slipped into many weird and toxic mindsets. I've had a lot of issues dealing with productivity and how to cope with that. And my work ethic, I've been struggling a lot with that. Those are all things I found difficult with. So it's just, like, mental battles and the fact that I don't have any social interactions anymore. Now, as for what I found easy, I guess something I found easy is just not going to public places as much, excluding school, of course, because that I've not found easy. But, like, in general, even before quarantine, I wasn't the type of person that would go a lot to, like, that would go out to eat a lot, that would go to, like, town or these places with my friends. I wasn't that type of person to begin with. So I'm not having, like, I'm not direly missing a certain store or sorely missing a certain place right now, except for school. So I haven't been feeling too terrible about not being able to go to a certain restaurant or a certain place or hanging out with my friends at, like, in downtown. That's just not been, I've just not been that type of person in general. But I guess as we're so socially isolating, that also, you know, relating to, I guess, what I just said about, you know, not being at school and not seeing, you know, a lot of my friends and interacting with people, that also begs the question of how I've been able to keep in touch with people. So, to answer that question, I have definitely not been keeping in touch with people as much as I'd like to. I think the vast majority of my friends I haven't even talked to since quarantine has started. There's a lot of people I'd like to talk to right now, but first of all, it's like a whole hassle for me to actually reach out and know what to say and have the whole digital barrier of just not having, you know, body language, tones. And it's a lot harder to keep conversations with people alive and keep relationships with people alive if it's only digitally. So I've definitely not been keeping up as much with people as I want to, but hopefully that will change as quarantine persists, or as hopefully if quarantine, the stay-at-home measures are lifted. But I guess also with this whole lack of social interaction and stuff, I've been spending a lot more time by myself, which has been both harmful and helpful to me. And I've had to, you know, realize a lot more ways to keep myself interested and to keep myself from idling a lot. So I've been picking up a lot more hobbies and reviving old ones. So for example, something that I picked up, like I think a month ago, was journaling. I think I just picked that up a few weeks ago, but I've never been one to journal before, but I tried my best, you know,
purchased a journal just so I wanted, because I wanted a way to be able to write down my thoughts, and I also wanted a way to try my best to give myself a schedule. So what I'll use my journal for is just to, you know, write down my feelings, and also I use it as a form of keeping myself accountable. So I'll have like a daily checklist, I'll have like a schedule for myself at times. Definitely it's not the most foolproof way for me. There have definitely been times when I just haven't even felt like journaling, but I think it has improved things a lot for me. And I do like setting up my journal, so that's been a hobby. But I have definitely been turning more towards music. One of the most important factors in my life was the fact that I took piano lessons for around 7 years before I quit last year. And since I've quit, I've barely been, you know, practicing piano at all. But since quarantine has started, I've tried my best to play more and to practice more. And I found that to be really enjoyable. And I've liked the fact that I've revived this, you know, old hobby of mine. Now I'd like to talk about, I guess, Princeton in general, which is the community that I'm part of and the place that I'm living in. So first I'd like to talk about, I guess, the community, like the atmosphere in Princeton right now. And it's hard to say right about the atmosphere right now, because as of this moment, the atmosphere is very different than how it normally is during quarantine, because of the fact that very recently, just I think a few days ago or last week, was the death of George Floyd and the subsequent riots and protests around the world that has come to Princeton. Has definitely changed things about, you know, the Princeton environment. Usually during these 3 months of quarantine, the atmosphere of Princeton has been very, very peaceful, I'd say. I mean, in general, I would describe Princeton as a peaceful town. It's a very tranquil town. But, you know, there hasn't been a lot of movement downtown in general, I'd say. When considering the current events that are going on right now, if I had to just say as of this moment, if I had to describe the atmosphere as of this moment, I'd say the atmosphere is very vocal right now. There's a lot of activism that is going on because of what has been happening around the country as a result of current events and the news and George Floyd and everything. But in general, in quarantine, Princeton is usually very quiet, but there definitely are more attempts around Princeton to be unified and vocal, in the sense that there have been some fundraisers going on to help alleviate some of the burdens of coronavirus. So I'd say in general, I could say in general, the atmosphere in Princeton is usually serene and I'd say helpful because of these fundraisers. But as of right now, as of this very moment, it's very vocal and very, very activist, I'd say, because of what is happening in our nation. And relating to the whole idea of current events, especially recently, that also brings up the question of, you know, news sources, how I've been keeping up with the news, because a lot of the time with school and all, during the school year, I don't keep up with the news as much as I'd like to. I usually found a lot of my news just from talking with people at school. Usually they'll bring it up to me, or we'll talk about it in class or something. But nowadays I've had to turn to my own efforts in order to learn these things. So a lot of my primary sources of news during this pandemic, just, you know, the conventional news sources like the New York Times, The Guardian, a lot of those, like, on a lot of sources of journalism, I'd say. But I don't normally just go to a specific news source. What I do is I like to Google things. So for example, I'd Google like coronavirus cases globally, and I'd go to the top section and just read as many articles as I can. But I've also been seeking a lot more primary sources, like first-hand accounts of the virus, specifically from people who have been, like, definitely more affected by the virus than I have, because I can vouch for people's experience, for like a student's experience with the coronavirus. But I've been seeking a lot of people talking about how their business has been affected by it, and also I've been trying to find more accounts of people who've gotten the virus themselves and seen interviews of them talking about their experiences with the virus, and a lot of healthcare workers as well. I've been trying to find as many interviews as possible involving how healthcare workers are dealing with this pandemic because of the fact that they are on the front line of this battle against coronavirus. And I guess this whole topic in the news just really reflects upon the idea that, yes, my news sources have changed because of this pandemic, and I think they have changed for the better, because before this pandemic, my news sources, mainly my classmates, I'd be hearing things, news and current events, secondhand from teachers and classmates, but now I've been turning more towards the direct primary sources. Yeah, and so I'd say it has changed for the better. Now, I guess I've touched upon this before, but I'd like to talk about, you know, how the coronavirus and COVID-19 has affected schooling of myself and the people in my household. In my household, we have five kids, not children exactly, but five kids, so I have four siblings. My two older siblings, they go to college, and their college has been shut down, so they are at home. I think their semester has just finished, so school's over for them. But my two younger siblings, one goes to middle school, the other one goes to elementary school, and so we're continuing online school because their schools have also been closed down, and they're part of the same school district that I am. So schooling has been affected for all of us in the sense that we're all now at home. We're all not at home, and we're all, with the exceptions of my older siblings, doing online school. But of course, schooling is different, I think, for all of us because we all are doing different levels of education. Like my younger sister, because she's in elementary school, I think she's using different platforms like Google Classroom. I'm using a lot more of, like, me and my little brother, we're using a lot more of this, our school's, like, website, or to do assignments, and then my siblings who go to university, they were using an entirely different format of, you know, online submissions and lectures and such. But the common denominator is that we have all our schools have been shut down. And I guess now, a lot of this has been focused on me and my family, and now I guess I'd like to talk more about the community's response. So, how the COVID-19 outbreak has affected my community, and this includes a lot of factors, like the community, meaning my, you know, my schools, clubs, the town itself. So, I'd say club-wise, the coronavirus has definitely affected lots of clubs. Usually a lot of clubs have, like, special activities they do, and those have to either be done virtually or just completely canceled. I know there's one club that I am part of. I would say it's more of a team because we're part of a competition, and that competition had to be moved online, so we did this entire competition virtually, which is a really interesting and weird and strange experience, but I think a lot of clubs and a lot of activities have been feeling this way. In addition, like, one of the clubs that I'm also involved in is our school newspaper, and that has all been online. So usually we have like a paper edition, every paper monthly edition, and that's just been completely replaced by just an online by updating the online website. And so a lot of clubs, you know, a lot of things are changing for the clubs. Now moving outwards, to how the coronavirus has affected our school, I'd say, well, I mean, of course, school has been online, and that's very impactful in the sense that all the teachers have to be moving teachings online. And a lot of students, I think, are finding the same struggles that I am with, you know, staying productive and staying in touch with their friends and stuff. But I guess, yeah, I think those are the ways that our school has been affected. But the community response, as in Princeton itself, I think that's definitely worth noting. I've found that COVID-19 has affected our town in a way that, first of all, that a lot of Princeton, a lot of the heart of Princeton lies downtown, on Nassau Street. And, you know, that place is always bustling because it has all these shops. It's near the university, and that house all, of course, the university has been shut down. Most of these businesses have to comply with social distancing rules, and so a lot of business activity has been really constrained. A lot of people are not going there anymore. It's much quieter. And so that's affected our community in the sense that our community has been a lot quieter. But I think, downtown has been a lot quieter physically. But I think it's also affected our community in the sense that people are trying their best to have a much more unified response to this pandemic. I've seen a lot of people in various places, like school, who have been conducting, like a lot of my classmates have been conducting these fundraisers or these private initiatives to help alleviate some of the burdens that have been caused by COVID-19 pandemic. So, you know, there's specifically in Princeton, the Princeton's Chinese American community has had most of them are all part of this large group chat that has organized and helped set up this fundraiser for healthcare workers, and this includes like donating supplies like face masks and gloves and toilet paper, actually, and monetary donations as well. That's been really cool to see an entire community come together over that. And of course, like, you know, some of my friends just conducting their own setting up GoFundMe pages for businesses. Those things. So I think COVID-19 has made us more quiet in the sense that, you know, there's not a lot of activity going on downtown, but we have been active socially, in the sense that we're still looking out for one another. And that also relates to how I've seen the society and the Prince community change as a result of this crisis. I think people, you know, like the beneficiary side, the humanitarian side of people, and the Prince community is really coming out during this crisis. I think a lot of people are, you know, more aware of different projects, trying to set up their own different projects to help provide some relief for people who have been hit especially hard by the crisis. And I guess on a larger scale, I guess now I'd like to talk about my own thoughts on, you know, the national, local, state responses to the pandemic. So it's hard to tell. There is a difference between individual responses and the government's responses. So first, I guess I'd like to talk about, you know, large scale, like national scale, individual responses. So because of this whole coronavirus, that's brought to light a lot of political discourse coming around. For example, with the whole anti-quarantine protests that have been going on, that I feel kind of disapproving of those, of course, because of the fact that I do think it's really important for us to to comply with stay-at-home and quarantine measures. And that's more been happening on the national scale, I'd say, rather than the local response. I'd be very hard pressed to find people in Princeton who are actively staging protests against quarantine. However, even without protests, I do still see some individuals in Princeton who are not complying with the COVID-19 measures, and I don't think it's for a political reason. I think it's more of just like personal motives. So, for example, I'll see some classmates on social media just posting pictures of each other together, them hanging out when we're supposed to be quarantining, and I don't think it's for some. It's definitely not for like a. It's not like a politically motivated reasoning. I don't think like. It's different from the national protests in the sense that the national protests are more for politically motivated, but I think they're motivated just by wanting to see their friends. Even so, I'm not like pleased by it, and I disapprove of it, but I've overall been really pleased by the fact that I'm seeing a lot of people coming together during this crisis, even though there is still a discourse going on. There's still a lot of polarization going on in this country. I'm glad that there is these fundraisers that people are organizing. I'm glad that people, you know, are giving thanks to people who deserve it, and those are our healthcare workers. But I definitely would hope that, you know, anti-quarantine protests, that like individual just friends hanging out with each other and not social distancing, I definitely wish that would end, because I think it's important to abide by social distancing rules. So that is like the individual response on different scales. I guess in terms of like the economic response, like the government response, I'm probably not educated enough to speak out about it. From my very unqualified opinion, I do like the whole idea of the stimulus check to go to businesses and individual households. I think that is very helpful to so many people and so many businesses, even though a lot of businesses are still slipping through the cracks. But I would like to know more about what governments can do, like governments on the different scales, on the national and local scales. I would like to know more about what they can do to help businesses who are struggling. And I don't necessarily have a set opinion on them already. I just like to know more about if there are any potential measures that can be taken. And I'd like to know more about, you know, what can be done, and then be able to formulate my opinions from there. I think I'd have to do more research about that, though. But I'm definitely not... I definitely am not mad about, you know, the laws that have been passed that are enforcing quarantine and social distancing. Although, I think I would agree with the fact that maybe we could have, as a nation, started this entire process a bit earlier, and maybe it would have been, if we did start a bit earlier, it would be less severe. The impact of coronavirus on the U.S. would be less severe if maybe we had started a bit earlier. But then again, I don't think I'm qualified enough to speak about it. But those are just my thoughts. I guess talking about those, you know, what's going on with, like, the whole pandemic, when talking about what's going on right now with the pandemic, which I've been doing this entire time, I think it's also important to look about, you know, the future. And I'd like people in the future to know about this experience. So what I want people in the future to know about this experience is, first of all, I'd like people to realize that I like people to change the social landscape, or like the political landscape of our nation when it comes to these types of crises, because it is very, I think it's very upsetting the fact that even that in this global pandemic that we're still having all these political polarizations and these finger pointings and blamings on different sides and people. I just don't like the fact that in this time where we should especially be coming together as a nation, that we're still seeking to, you know, strive for our own, maybe our political motives, seeking to just blame certain people. And I wish people knew that, you know, there have been some very beautiful community efforts to help each other. One being, you know, the fundraisers that I've personally seen and witnessed. But I really hope that people would realize that there were two sides to everything. These sides being, one is a unified community response, and the other is just polarization on multiple situations. And so I wish people in the future would first of all know that, you know, there have been really some really beautiful community efforts that have gone on because of the coronavirus. I'd also like people in the future to realize how much, to remember and recognize the real heroes, I think, of our situation. And those are our healthcare workers. I really wish it wouldn't take an entire global pandemic for people to start recognizing how important healthcare workers are to us. And so I hope people would be more aware of how much they've played a heroic role throughout this entire time. So I wish people in the future would remember how heroic frontline care workers are, so that they can continue to receive the praise that they deserve. That's definitely something, because I think a really positive thing about this pandemic is the fact that people are more cognizant of how much we need our healthcare workers and how much they've been helping us. Not just during coronavirus, but throughout time. I think it's time for us to be able to really recognize them and thank them for all that they've done for us. My hopes for the future after this pandemic, I touched upon this, but my hopes are that whenever in the situation, it doesn't have to be a global pandemic, but in a situation where our entire nation is completely affected by this, and it's a lot, it's something that's like an issue that, like, almost like something that people haven't encountered before and people are very terrified by. In a situation like that, and it could be like a recession, like an economic crisis, I really hope that people could be more unified in the response. And more dignified in their response as well. And when I mean dignified, I mean like less finger pointing, less blaming. I just wish that people would be less. I feel like in situations like these, where there's deaths involved, where there's people who are dying, and where there's people who are suffering, I wish we'd spend less of our time trying to pin the blame on someone. And I wish we'd spend more time trying to help other people, which has been going on, and I wish it definitely has been going on. Like, there are definitely efforts to help other people, but I just wish it would be more of, you know, community efforts and less of finger pointing and blaming. And I guess on a light note, what I'd like to do when this entire pandemic subsides, when shelter-in-place measures are lifted, hopefully in the near future, the first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to do a couple of things, I guess. I'm just going to give some options. Something I'd like to do is go to the public library. The Princeton Public Library is a fantastic place that I love to go to, especially during the summertime. The days are hotter right now, and in the summertime, I'd love to go to the library just to you know, cooled down because they have remarkable AC, and I'd like to meet up with my friends there as well. So that's one thing. I'd like to go to the library and hang out with my friends and meet up with them. I'd also like to go shopping. I mean food shopping. I feel like it'd be so rewarding. I know it sounds very comical, but I think it'd be really fun, especially because I haven't gone to the grocery store in so long. I'd like to do both those things when quarantine measures are lifted. But until then, I'm just going to try my best to improve my current circumstances for myself and to comply with quarantine measures.